Assalamu alaikum, Sidi Adam. Can you read something for us?
Okay. From the book, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Opening the door of insight helps us bear divine decrees might. You should realize that when God sends down, when Allah sends down a decree upon someone, Allah opens the door of insight for that person through bearing such a decree. Understand that Allah desires that you ascribe every decree to its divine originator. Such understanding leads your attention back to Allah, urges you toward Allah's presence, and impels you to entrust your security to Allah alone. Divine speech reveals that whoever entrusts to Allah their every need, surely Allah is sufficient for them. In other words, Allah alone is sufficient for people, and Allah's presence is abundant in relation to their need. Allah is their only aid in vanquishing otherness from the heart, and Allah watches over them, protecting them. For understanding Allah from Allah, فَانْبِلَّا أَنَّ اللَّهِ discloses for you the secret of true worshipful servanthood that lies potential within you. As divine speech points out, is not Allah alone sufficient for Allah's worshipful servant? In reality, each of these 10 different things described above leads back to understanding Allah from Allah. Each thing is a single variegated facet of this return.
Yeah, so that was the introduction that you read. You read the introduction to the 10 points. So what is the first point?
The first point is the dawning of inner light helps make for us destiny's weight light.
What is that light? What is the light that Allah sends? Yeah, the light of what? The light of guidance, the light of Iman and the light of guidance. And when Allah sends down that, then he makes it easy for a servant to bear his decrees. So the first one is the light that he supplies. Then the second point is understanding.
The second point is opening the door of insight that helps us bear divine decrees might. Allah Qadr.
So he's saying that fahm actually underlies all these 10 points that we are discussing. The understanding is with intelligence, and intelligence is in the heart. So when Allah gives you the understanding, then that helps a person to understand why he has to suffer certain things and why he has to do certain things. That was the second point. What's the third point?
The third point, subtle gifts from Allah.
The gifts from Allah, now. And the gifts from Allah, he explains in that paragraph, they are of two kinds. What are the two kinds of gifts that Allah gives? There's one type of gifts that he gives before he sends a trial. And that's the kind of gift that he gives in letting one understand why this happens. Then there's another kind of gift that he sends. And that is a gift that comes with the trial. And that is for certain people who are close to him. When he tries them, then they feel that he's doing that for some benefit, and they know that he's doing it for some benefit. So those people, there comes a kind of sweetness even when they're suffering, because they know that Allah is doing that to them. So that's the kind of gift he sends during the trial. So according to what to one's position, if one is able to receive the gift before the trial in terms of understanding why this happens, or if one is able to receive the gift during, even during the trial, and then it will be much easier to bear. So that was the third point. What is the fourth point?
The fourth point is acknowledging how wholesome is God's choice empowers us to bear divine decrees forth.
Yeah, so this is now knowing that He chose this for you. And did He choose that because He wants to be mean to the people, or did He withhold something because He is stingy? No, that's not the reason. He withholds something because it is good for us. He says in the explanation that Allah is so merciful to people, more than a mother to his child. So why would He then do something to them that hurts? He does things that hurts because there's a benefit in it. So that was number four. What's number five?
Knowing that He is aware of their state and that He sees them.
Now, what does that mean?
That means knowing that Allah knows where you are and what you're doing, and He can see you even though you can't see Him.
Yes. And there's this story, this is a famous Arab story about somebody who was, he was beaten because he, something bad he did, and the person whom he loved was watching him. So when he was beaten 100 times, and he was beaten 99 times, he was beaten, he didn't say anything, because the one he loved was looking at him all the time. So he wasn't even aware that he was being beaten, because he knew that she was watching him. Then the 100th time she turned away, and then the whole pain came over him, so he cried. So this is a metaphor for Allah is watching us. As long as Allah is watching us and we know that Allah is watching us, then that makes it easy to bear the pain. That is for the people who are at the level of understanding this. So when they know, knowing that Allah is seeing that you are in pain, makes you forget the pain, because you know He is seeing that. And you love Him, and He is seeing that all that matters to you is that He is watching you. But then if He should turn away, then you will feel the whole pain coming over you. That was five. Number six.
Being exposed to Allah's beauty, Jamal.
Na'am. So what does that mean?
I'm not completely sure. But I think it means that we can see Allah's beauty in His order, and
no, it's not about seeing His beauty in creation. It's a state. It's a state that some people experience. He discloses a beauty to them, and that gives rise to a very, very pleasant feeling. That is like a very great enjoyment, and that is something that He gives. And when He does that, when He lets people feel His beauty, He manifests His beauty to them, and that produces this very beautiful, this very pleasant feeling, then they don't feel the pain. It's something that He gives, and that's His state, being exposed to His Jamal. And then what's number seven?
Knowing that patience entails the good pleasure of Allah.
No, so what is that?
That means when you're patient, Allah makes you please Allah.
Yeah, you know that Allah likes it that you are patient. So when you do what He likes you to be patient. Like He gives you certain trials and you don't complain, because you know that He likes you to just be patient. And that will give you reward. And knowing that that will entail a reward, then that is sufficient for you. Then you are fat, then you are happy. But all you want is you want to please Allah. So that's another state, somebody who is in a state where everything that happens to you, he's happy with it because he knows that Allah likes what he's doing and he's expecting rewards for that. So what's the next point?
Allah withdrawing the veil.
So what's that again?
I'm not sure, but from what I remember when I heard this, I think it means Allah, like, lets you see things that normal people can't see. Like, he removes the veil so, like, you can see, like, things of the afterlife.
Yeah, but it's not about seeing a ghaib, it's not about seeing the afterlife. This is kind of seeing that happens with the heart. It's the kind of seeing that is not with the eyes, it's with the basira, with something that happens in the heart. And again, this is a state that normal people cannot don't know what it is. Those people who are very close to Allah, they have experienced this. When he withdraws, because when he with what we live in a world where we don't experience him because we are veiled from him, and what veils us from him is our sins and is all the dunya that is on our way. We don't experience him. But if he withdraws the veil on a person's heart, and the person will experience Allah with his beauty and his kamal, his perfection, then that once he experiences that, he will forget every other thing. So if he gives in the explanation, he explains, if the people of Jannah would experience this thing, they wouldn't even know that they are, sorry, if the people in Jahannah, if the people in the fire would experience this withdrawing of the veil, they wouldn't know that they are burning in the hellfire. Because they wouldn't be aware of that at all. All they would be aware of is the presence of Allah. And on the other hand, if the people in Jannah, and they are enjoying all the things that he's giving them, and he is disclosing, and in the actual pleasure of Jannah is this, the veil being withdrawn, like it's written in the Quran, that in Jannah, the people of Jannah, they will see him. They will see him not in a way we can understand, in a way we cannot understand. If this seeing is withdrawn and they don't see him anymore, then there's no Jannah for them, and everything they can eat and enjoy there, then that's nothing. Because all they want is to see him. So that's number 8. And that is also to have that in this world is something that Allah grants to some people. It's not the common thing for the people of for the awliya. Yeah, but it's not about seeing a ghaib, it's not about seeing the afterlife. It's this kind of seeing that happens with the heart. It's the kind of seeing that is not with the eyes, it's with the basira, with something that happens in the heart. And again, this is a state that normal people cannot, don't know what it is. Those people who are very close to Allah, they have experienced this. When he withdraws, because when he with what we live in a world where we don't experience him because we are veiled from him, and what veils us from him is our sins and is all the dunya that is on our way. We don't experience him. But if he withdraws the veil on a person's heart, and the person will experience Allah with his beauty and his kamal, his perfection, then that once he experiences that, he will forget every other thing. So if he gives in the explanation, he explains, if the people of Jannah would experience this thing, they wouldn't even know that they are, sorry, if the people in Jahannah, if the people in the fire would experience this withdrawing of the veil, they wouldn't know that they are burning in the hellfire, because they wouldn't be aware of that at all. All they would be aware of is the presence of Allah. And on the other hand, if the people in Jannah, and they are enjoying all the things that he's giving them, and he is disclosing, and the actual pleasure of Jannah is this, the veil being withdrawn, like it's written in the Quran, that in Jannah, the people of Jannah, they will see him. They will see him not in a way we can understand, in a way we cannot understand. If this seeing is withdrawn and they don't see him anymore, then there's no Jannah for them, and everything they can eat and enjoy there, then that's nothing, because they all they want is to see him. So that's number eight, and that is also to have that in this world is something that Allah grants to some people. It's not the common thing, it's for the people of for the awliya. So what's number nine?
I have a question about the withdrawing the veil.
Now, to help my city.
Does a person know when it's happening to them, or does it just happen to them and they're unaware?
No, they will know, because it's such an overwhelming experience that there's no way you wouldn't know. Of course they will know. It's something that is like you can think of the greatest pleasure you've ever had, and it is nothing in comparison with the unveiling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The next one is realizing ta'arif, tasrif, acceptance and gratitude helps to bear up with the taklif, orders and prohibitions.
Now, if you realize these cardinal points that we were discussing, that you are either in a state of obedience or disobedience, or in a state of trial or in a state of ni'mah, of comfort, and all these different states require something from you to realize your state of servant, our state of servanthood, and Allah's states of lordship. So His lordship, His rububiyyah, requires from us realization of the state of ubudiyyah, and that means that in a state of obedience we should thank and we should realize that it is from Him and it is from His minna. If we are in a state of disobedience, then we should seek His forgiveness. In a state of trial we should be patient, and in a state of comfort we should be grateful. In a state of ni'mah we should be grateful for His ni'mah. And this is simply a consequence of realizing that He is the Lord and we are a servant. And if one understands this, then one can work on these 4 points. What would you like repeated, please? You said about if in you are in disobedience, then you should do istighfar now. In the state of obedience, you should realize that the obedience actually is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a state of disobedience, you should seek tawbah. And in a state of trial, you should have patience. In a state of ni'ana, you should have great gratitude. Those are the 4 cardinal points that we go throughout the books, inshallah. Number 10.
Knowing the subtle benefits of patience.
So what are the subtle benefits of patience? Like we said before, that having patience is something that will get a reward. One may seek the reward for patience, but this is something different. This is not just about reward. It's saying that there are some other benefits. What are those benefits? One of the benefits that he mentions is that when one is submitted to trials, one experiences one's lack of power. So one is put in a state of humility and faqr, or knowing that one is in a state of need. And this state, the state of humility, is what in the end will bring the nusra, will bring the help of Allah. Like he quotes the ayah, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهِ. Allah helped you in Nas, gave you victory in the battle of Badr, because you were in a state of humility. And later on, when there were many people and they felt that they were self-sufficient, they lost the war. But in Badr, because they knew that they were few, and that they didn't really have any power, then Allah gave them the help and they won the war because of their humility, because of this state of humility. So the trials, they bring about a state of humility, and that state of humility is what is the benefit of that is that Allah will bring strength, give one strength. That's one of the benefits. That was a brief review. All these things that we are discussing in the 10 points, they are not things that we really do. They are according to the state. They are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the state one is in.